Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. I've fallen and I can't get up.
I don't know if you remember, but in the 1980s, they had the little call for help button that you could wear around your neck. And it had the little old lady next to the toilet going,
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Wait, I think they still have that.
Yeah, they do. Oh, it's called like Life Something or Other. I don't remember.
They just don't play that commercial much anymore. I don't know. It became a pop culture classic.
It did, yeah. Along with Where's the Beef and
Where's the
Next Bedroom. You can't laugh when old people fall down, though. That's just rude.
Well, we have many stories about that, don't we?
I know it's probably not polite, but I can't help but laugh when I see somebody fall down.
I love it when people fall down, including myself. Like, Clint gets offended, but I laugh when people fall. I laugh when I fall, which is frequently.
My children fall all the time. They'll just be standing there, and all of a sudden, they're just like, wipe out. How did that happen?
I just twisted my ankle. How did you twist your ankle? I don't know.
I do that too. One time I was walking through Walmart with Clint, like in my Sunday dress with my nice heels on. We're walking along and I turned, totally bit the dust and did a ballerina twirl.
I believe
and hit
it was
the
a
deck.
Pirouette.
And you know what I remember? Him looking at me and then walking away like he did not know who I was.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
So whenever you fall down, do you ever get that like slow motion feeling?
Yes.
Like this is going to be really bad and it's going to really hurt.
Yeah. I
did that once. I was unloading the trash cans out of the truck down by the edge of the road. And I was climbing up in the back of the truck and I had the tailgate down and it's held up by a couple of cables. I stepped up there and my foot slipped off and my shin caught that cable.
Ow.
Ripped it wide open. And I remember the whole thing happening. I think my foot's slipping.
This past weekend, we went to a very romantic getaway for our 17th wedding anniversary.
Shh, don't tell people that.
And
it was cool.
They had the big stone stairs leading up to our bedroom suite. I've got my arms full. Haley's carrying
it back. Were you carrying her?
No.
Oh.
I should have.
Josh.
Because behind me, I hear a kerfuffle.
A what?
A kerfuffle.
A kerfuffle.
Oh, my goodness.
It's Christian cussing. Kerfuffle.
Oh, a kerfuffle.
And Haley is squeezing tears out of her eyes as she's laughing and bleeding.
Whoa.
I totally hit the deck on those stone stairs and busted my knee open.
Your heart.
But you know what's funny is that when I'm going to fall, I generally see myself falling right before it happens.
Like she has a prophetic.
Right. Like I was walking up the stairs thinking, man, that would suck to fall. Bam.
It's self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, I usually fall doing stupid stuff. I'm a little bit of a klutz, but not too bad. But like one time I decided I'm going to ride this scooter. I haven't ridden a scooter in 20 some odd years. I think I'll just try it again. I used to be a pretty good skateboarder, you know? And so I jump on this scooter and I'm just cruising. I'm like, I wonder how fast I get this thing. Squatting down so I got low center of gravity and I'm flying across the driveway and I hit a rock or a screw
a
or something. Yeah, a little piece of demise right there. And the scooter stopped. But I didn't. And I went flying off into the yard and landed on my arm. And I actually cracked my ribs. So I'm laid up in bed for the next 5 days going, I'll never ride a scooter again. Well, let's just say riding a skateboard's not like riding a bicycle.
No.
Because I think you can forget.
I kind of right? think that when you get to be like 40 or over, you should reevaluate.
Absolutely. I mean, before I got on that scooter, I heard this little voice saying, it's probably not a good idea. I should have followed the voice. It's exactly what we're going to be doing today with James Jackson. He is a missionary to South Korea, Seoul, actually. He got some soul. James in the house, y'all. And we're going to be talking about following the voice today on the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Stick around.
Loving others doesn't mean that you practice tolerating them. It means that you are an active participator in fighting for justice in their lives. It means that you're now a fighter for their dreams, their greatness, and the treasures inside of them to be fully displayed. Are you offended when people do well? Are you shipwrecked when others become great? You were created to display His brilliance, and that always includes helping others to shine brighter than yourself. Surround yourself with people greater than you, people that do exploits, and people who know how to shine. Not for the sake of climbing a ladder, but so that you can become great at championing others also. After all, that's what the great ones do.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, Jesus the Defender. Rita Springer will be joining us on that program talking about our favorite person.
Yeah. Who, Rita? Oh, you mean Jesus. There's a close tie there. Rita changed our lives forever.
That's true,
every
man.
Time we listen to her. But yeah, she is an incredibly powerful woman, but also so sweet. Loved interviewing her.
Looking forward to that. Also today, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be interviewing James Jackson. He actually led worship at Azusa Now with The Call out in California last year. And had a choir with him, and there was some soupiness.
Yeah, all up good in stuff.
So he'll be on the show a little bit later on. We're talking today about following the voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about this because I think it's important, number one, that we say right off the bat, we have to understand when he speaks to us. Because we see, as now we're kind of fathers in the faith, so to speak, you know, we won't say what decade we're in, but we're farther enough along to have people that used to be our age leading worship and doing things. And you see people sometimes make decisions like, man, what in the world are you thinking?
Yeah.
Honestly, see them making decisions outside of community, outside of a clear direction from Holy Spirit. And so I'll bring up a couple little biblical tidbits here that we can kind of maybe jump off of. The first one's Acts 15:28. They talk about making some decisions. The language they use is, it seemed good to us and also good to the Holy Spirit. Mm. So you don't always have a like write it on the wall,
yeah,
you know, clear signal from God. It just seems good. You know, right. It just seems like a good direction. But on the other hand, we also have Jesus saying, I do what I see my Father doing. I say what I hear Him saying.
Right.
And I just want to put this out there. If you want to do anything in the kingdom that's going to be long lasting, you're going to have to see what He's doing and say what He's saying. Because if you're not, you do things out of a search for your own significance, and then you drag a bunch of people with you and hurt them all. So, and that's what we've really built everything on Next Gen Worship on, doing what we see Him doing, say what we hear Him saying. So let's maybe talk about that. Tell some stories about hearing the voice, because I think it will be very helpful to even tell some practical examples of how we have made maybe even some big decisions around His voice.
I think it can be so difficult because sometimes you do something because it seems good. That's the direction that you have. And, you know, you get confirmation from other people. And then there are times in life that God will speak specifically for you to do something and you don't have confirmation from the people around you, and you have to be brave and step out and do it anyway. And those, to me, are like two contradicting situations. And yet you can hear the voice of God both of those ways.
Mm-hmm. I find that spending time in His Word and studying the Bible really brings a lot of clarity as to what I'm supposed to do. It doesn't necessarily say do this, like give me a laundry list of things to do, but it sets my heart right.
Yeah.
And it makes everything much clearer as to what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think divine appointments are set before us as we start to walk out with expectancy opportunities that God's given us for the day, for whatever we're going to do. I mean, he gives us big ideas and big dreams as well, but it's really in that day-to-day listening and walking it out. I like what Howie says. He always gets up in the morning and he gets him a little ripple.
A little ripple, huh? Yeah.
Read, pray, listen. Give him a little ripple.
That's like a secret coffee drink I don't know about.
Right? Yeah.
It is true. The Holy Spirit has to be involved in the conversation or you won't know where you're going. It requires us to have a relationship with God daily, actively having a conversation with him and deliberately listening.
Yeah, I think that's what you're getting at, Josh, is that the more we know him, the more we know his heart, the more we're fashioned into his image, the more that doing what we see him doing and saying what we hear him saying comes naturally.
Right.
It actually is an outflow of our connection, of our relationship. And man, we have seen that even worldwide. We were having this conversation this morning about how we've seen even the church kind of going through this journey from slaves to servants to sons. In this generation, man, we are seeing a massive birth of sons who know their father's heart. They're not struggling with, I have no idea who I am or what I'm supposed to do. I mean, there are those people, but the people that are connected with him, man, you see them walking out their identity and their calling, and it's birthing exploits in the earth. And we see, you know, leaders like Todd White and Heidi Baker, and who are going to go down in history as are the modern day revivalists that everybody writes books about and stuff. But they're our contemporaries. They're here now leading the charge of sons and daughters in the earth. And it's so exciting to see finally something natural happening, a natural outflow of our relationship with him that's producing heaven on earth.
So I was reading an old sermon by Charles Spurgeon this past week, and he was talking about Abraham going up to Mount Moriah and obeying God's command to sacrifice Isaac. And when he left with Isaac, the servants asked him, where's the sacrifice? It may have been Isaac that asked him. And his reply was, the Lord will see to it. And Abraham knew because the Lord had spoken and told him to do something, he was going to take care of all the details.
Yeah.
And that is something that I took away from that sermon. Oh, it just really penetrated my heart that I have been relying on my own ability to carry out what God has given me.
Wow.
In fact, he named that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it. We've interpreted that as the Lord will provide, but the actual breakdown of it is the Lord will see to it. He will see to what he said. He will carry out his word. His word never returns void. 2 years ago, the Lord told me to just trust him for my finances and to walk away from conventional occupation. But that moment, whenever I read that this past week, the Lord said, I will see to it. You know what I said. I said it. And I knew it in my heart. It's what he directed me to do. So it just reassured me, gave me lots of hope.
Wow.
Gave me lots of excitement as to how that's going to play out.
Well, I remember one of the big decisions that we made as a family was back around 2006, 2007, when we decided to move to a whole nother city and join another ministry there. You talk about uprooting your family and your kids, and they were all littles then, you know, and that's a big decision. And you're like, oh my goodness. And we kept wanting to hear this booming voice from heaven telling us to go, you know, and we never got that. But you know what? It just seemed good. It seemed good to us, and it seemed good to Holy Spirit. And we stepped out in faith and did it. And it did end up being good. It did end up producing many years down the road, tremendous fruit in our lives.
And what's interesting about that is that it seemed good to us and it seemed good to like a handful of people, and it really kind of seemed not good to a whole lot more people. And so we were faced with a decision of, you know, we're not getting massive confirmation from a lot of people. What do we do? Well, we went with what we thought the Lord was saying to us, and it was difficult. But now looking back, I can totally 100% say that that was a spectacular decision that we made, and it has produced a lot of fruit in our lives.
Yeah. And we always like to go with fruit too. That's another way to look at it. You know, following the voice, we have our team meetings for Next Gen Worship, and we just evaluate fruit and we go, you know what? That thing is not being as fruitful as it used to be. Let's just prune it a little bit. You know, let's trim it back and let's feed something else. There's this other branch over here, but that's blooming and growing. Man, let's feed that thing. Let's feed that thing and see how much it can grow. So community is a vital role a lot of times, especially a like-hearted community that are kind of in one accord that can look at the same issue with perspective. And if Holy Spirit is saying the same thing to everybody, man, you've almost every time got a green light on a direction.
And one thing I always want to keep in mind whenever I'm hearing from the Lord is he's never going to direct me in a certain direction that only benefits me.
Yeah.
He's always going to direct me to a place that benefits many.
Yeah.
You know, we do have a personal walk with the Lord, but he's not going to direct me to just benefit me.
Yeah.
He's going to direct me to benefit many.
Yeah, he's not going to direct you to isolation.
Right, exactly, exactly. So we'll talk a little bit more about that with James Jackson when we come back next week. Jesus, the Defender, Rita Springer will be on the program with us, part one of a two-part interview. So excited about that. Stick around, more to come. We asked local worship leaders to try Core Sound pads and tell us what they think.
So I started using pads probably about 3 years ago, mainly because on a Wednesday night when you didn't have an entire worship team, it was pretty thin, so I started using those on the recommendation of Clint and come across the Core Sound pads. I figured pad's a pad, but it's really not. These pads are so much more than just someone sitting on a sustain pedal with a keyboard pad playing in the background. It fills the space so much more depth and dimension, and if you have the right pad player, it'll actually do the transition from one key to another, and that's one of the main reasons I like it. I am Will Brown, worship pastor at Promised Land Fellowship in Granby, Missouri.
Go to Core, CoreSoundPads.com to learn more. Try free samples and get going with pads today. Enter promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. We're doing that with Rita Springer next week and the week after, two-part interview with her. Excited about those programs coming up. You definitely don't want to miss out on that. Today we've been talking about following the voice, and we're fortunate enough to have on the program with us today, all the way from Seoul, Korea, James Jackson.
Okay, James, thanks for joining us on the show today, all the way from Seoul, Korea. Man, it's great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Clint. I'm honored to be interviewed today. Thank you.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Well, we connected through some mutual friends, Rob and Catherine Harriman, who are missionaries to Mexico, and I had never heard of you, but man, they spoke so highly of you that I thought, hey, let's have a conversation with this guy. So, and come to find out, you led worship at the call at Azusa last year with Lou Engel and everybody for that event.
Yes.
So really an honor to have you today. Why don't you tell us about yourself and give us a little backstory?
Yeah, thank you again, Clint, for this opportunity. I'm really kind of honored to be on the show today. Yeah, my name is James, and I'm originally from Philadelphia. And I grew up in a Christian home, grew up in church, and that's where I learned to play music and sing. All of my family were musicians, and my grandparents were pastors, so always in church all the time, always either playing or singing or doing something like that. Yeah, I really grew to love the Lord there. I ended up going to college in Boston, Berklee College of Music, and I kind of went from a different place when I went to college. I just left the Lord and just kind of gave up on church and God, but the Lord saved me and really encountered God through the Berklee Christian Fellowship there at Berklee. That's where I started to lead worship, kind of walk into my calling as a worship leader and as a man of God. And yeah, I really love people and the nations, and God would just begin to speak to me about missions and going to different nations and all of that. So from that place, I moved to Los Angeles with a word for missions and calling for missions and worship. I got connected to so many amazing people in California and in Los Angeles, and God just opened so many doors for me in Los Angeles. Amazing 3 years. I was worship leader at H Rock Church in Pasadena, California. God really just started to highlight my life in Los Angeles to the point that Lou Engle asked me to lead at the call. Actually, the call Berkeley was the first time I led a worship at the call. And then Azusa Now was my second call, which was just amazing. It just showed me how God could move in my life as a life that has been surrendered to Him, wants to do everything for Him. I think that's just been my heart for a long time, to lay everything down for Him and whatever it takes for me to do that.
Yeah.
So how did you end up in Seoul, Korea? Tell that story.
Okay, well, I'll try to give you a little overview. It was a couple of months after Azusa Now, I think it was around May or June, I just started praying and seeking the Lord because I had so many options and opportunities after Azusa Now to do a lot of things with music, and I was actually going to record an album. And I just started to pray and seek the Lord, like, okay, God, what do you really want me to do? What is your heart for me? He started to speak to me about Korea through many instances, prophetic words, dreams, some crazy encounters with people that I've never met. So many different things he just began to speak and show me. And this went on for like two or three months, constantly God speaking to me about Korea. It was a shock to me because I never thought I would leave LA. Even though I had that word for missions, I never thought I would move from America and set myself in another country. But that's what happened. You know, here we are almost a year later, and I'm here living in Korea as a missionary and as a worship missionary here.
Yeah, I love that. So you use that term worship missionary. Kind of tell us your heart about, yeah, you know, the thinking behind that and kind of really what you're doing there.
Something that God had spoke to me, because it's different from those that go to poor countries. Being a worship missionary is, it's kind of different. Really what I've been called to is, I feel like I'm a part of a new breed that's rising up in the world. And we're called musicianaries. We are musicians that carry a missional heart and a missional calling, but we also love music. We also are worshipers. And I think for me here in Korea, my goal and my mission is to be a person of reconciliation, cultural reconciliation, and even uniting the body of Christ through worship, releasing the sound of heaven through worship, calling forth heaven to earth through my music, through worship, and here in Korea. There's so many different things that I could say, but that's pretty much the major point.
Yeah. Why don't you talk a little bit and even speak prophetically about the power of worship with that missionary heart? What's possible? What are some of the things you're going for?
First of all, I say that I've seen God do so many amazing things through worship for the past couple of years. I've seen healings and things breaking out. I've been to different countries. When I was in Bulgaria about 2 years ago, and then France, went on a mission trip there, and people were getting healed through worship. Like, no one had laid hands on them. So I know that once we, you know, open up the space, the atmosphere for heaven to come, anything is possible. And that has happened here in Korea. The Lord has really used me, I believe, to open up heaven, because that's who we are. We're supernatural beings, and we carry the Spirit of God within us. So there's an open heaven wherever we go. Through worship, I have seen the power of God and manifestation of God that no one can deny. You know, the unbeliever can't deny it. The skeptic may try to deny it, but, you know, it is what it is. And that's who we are called to be. You know, we're called to be people that have the presence of God wherever they go, even if that's, you know, on the street, you know, even if that's walking in the store, just being a vessel. I think that's something that I've learned being here, is just to be a vessel and always be ready, because there's so many hungry people, you know.
Yeah. Well, why don't you talk to us about some of the things you're dreaming about? You're in your first year there in Korea. Man, just talk to us out of your heart about some of the things that God spoke to you, maybe some of your biggest dreams for your time there.
Yeah, so one of my big, big dreams for the time here is to have a worship school. That's something that God has spoke to me before I came, to start a worship school here in Seoul that would train up worshipers, not to just be worshipers in church. That's needed everywhere. You know, everybody's looking for a worship leader, but really to raise up worshipers that have a missional heart to go out, not just to different nations, but to go to the streets of Seoul and to bring the sound of heaven, carrying the presence of God within them and releasing the sound of heaven to speak prophetically to people, those that carry the presence to release signs and wonders and to show that God is real. So I guess it would be like a hybrid worship school of like evangelism and missions and worship at the same time. But that's one of my biggest dreams. Of course, I want to see the body of Christ united here. That's something that a lot of people don't realize, that even though Korea is considered a Christian nation, there's a lot of disunity. There's a lot of things that are going on within the body of Christ here that tend to stifle unity. And for me, that's what I've been called to do, is to unify the body, regardless of denomination or, you know, background. It's been a fight, but it's something that I'm really dreaming for and hoping for. So the worship school, I'm praying about starting that soon. And also unity is a big part of my dream here in Korea.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I wondered if you would be willing to pray for some people, you know, if we've got worship leaders listening or musicians, and they maybe feel a call to the nations. I wonder if you pray for them, and then after that, help us connect people with you by giving us some social information.
Sure. Before I pray, I just want to say to any worship leader out there that has a calling to the nations, the main thing for you is really just to surrender to that calling, regardless of what anything or anyone says to you. Really surrender to God and listen to his voice. So, Father, I thank you for every person that is listening, every musician, every worship leader. Father, we just ask for your wisdom and your guidance in their lives. And Lord, I thank you that you have called men and women of all ages, Father. It doesn't even stop at, you know, 25, 26, 27, but you've called men and women, families, and worship leaders that have families, Lord, and those that think they're on the back burner. But Lord, I thank you that you've called them with great calling and great mission. And Father, I pray that they would seek you, Lord, that they would continue to say yes, Lord, to everything that you have called them to. Father, fulfill every dream on their heart and begin to speak to them. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, I bless every worship leader. I bless every musician to fulfill the destiny that you have given them to go to the nations. And Lord, I just thank you for what you are doing in this new season, this year, that you are calling those from the back to the front to go out. Thank you for those people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen.
Yeah, that's so good, calling them from the back to the front. Yeah. That's awesome. All right, give us some social information. Help us connect people with you.
Yes, you can find me on Facebook. My name is James Jackson. My Instagram name is I Am Father James. I Am Father James.
Awesome. James, we bless you, man. We bless you in Korea. Just,
thank
you. The presence of God and just open heaven everywhere you go, man. And we really appreciate you
being on the show with us, man. Thank you so much, Clint. Appreciate it.
So great to connect with James today, and we are praying over his ministry in Korea. If you feel called to that, definitely get in touch with him on his social media. Next week, Rita Springer on the show. We're going to have two interviews with her, 2 weeks in a row, and we're looking forward to all the good juice that comes out of those programs. You definitely want to tune in for that. We'll see you here, same time, same place, on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.